Speaking of positive differences, we all get to a point in our lives where we think we have found the one that we love the most. Enough so that we're willing to spend our life with that person. Yes. Well, the truth of the matter is, even though they say love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage, studies now suggest it's actually love and credit scores that equal a happy marriage. And no one knows that any better than my next guest, who we kind of love, too. She was with us a few months ago, and she's here to talk about this business of how tricky it is when the finances go wrong. The romances very often go badly. Jocelyn Baird is a Next Advisor, writer with a love for coffee, reading, and all things personal and personal security. She covers identity theft, as you recall, last time she was on with us, credit monitoring, internet security software, small business, personal loans, payday loans, all that kind of stuff she knows about. But she also knows about the importance of the credit score and the impact it can have when you're having financial difficulties, how tough it can be, and how, in many cases, it is really the primary reason that a marriage does not work. Imagine that, dollars and cents of all things. Jocelyn, nice to have you back on the program.
Yeah, it's so great to be back.
Thank you
for having me.
Define this for us. How big of an issue is this business of credit score and romance and love and marriage and all of that?
It is actually surprisingly huge. There was actually a study. There was a 12-year or a 15-year study that was finally all the results were released recently. That basically discovered that your credit score can basically predict your chance of not only, you know, finding a committed relationship but staying in it.
Wow, wow! So if you wanted to see whether or not and this is very interesting. You've got a couple, they're married or they're getting thinking of it or whatever. But if you look at their credit scores, I guess before and after they say I do or I did, if their score's at a certain level, it's a predictor of what will happen with their romance, with their love life.
Yeah, essentially. You know, when you have a higher credit score, obviously we all know that having better credit enables you to have access to things like loans and, you know, buying cars at lower rates. And those things transfer to relationships. A couple where either both people have lower credit scores or maybe one person has a good credit score but the other person has fairly bad credit, they're going to have a lot more stress. And financial stress, as we all know, is one of the biggest contributors to relationships arguing and falling apart.
So if you we're talking with Jocelyn Baird. Jocelyn, the point, I guess you could say of this, is that if you have a bad credit score, make sure you fall in love with somebody that also has a bad credit score. Otherwise, a relationship. I mean, really, the habits that we have can sometimes be predictors. In other words, my habit is that I save, and that I'm a good, I have a great credit score. And you don't save, and you spend, and you're a spendthrift, as opposed to a thrifty spender. We're going to have difficulties in our relationship.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that is definitely accurate. Especially, and you know, it's not true for all people. You know, obviously people with lower credit scores have happy marriages, have always had happy marriages, but these are the types of things that you can just think about critically and consider when you're getting into a relationship with somebody and it's getting serious.
Okay, that brings up the question. Is it okay for me then, if I'm in love with somebody or think I am, or they with me, boy, girl, girl, boy, should I say to them, what's your credit score?
I mean, I don't think that's something to bring out on the first date, definitely. But, you know, if you've gotten to the point where you're considering marriage, which, you know, is combining your assets and your finances and your life together, I think it is a good time to have a conversation. You know, do you have any debts? how is your credit? You may maybe not specific credit score. You could even make it an activity together to get your free credit report, which everyone is entitled to once per year, and do that together and kind of contrast and compare. Because I think the last thing you want is to get married, be, you know, contractually bound to somebody, and then find out afterward, oh, they have $70,000 in credit card debt that I didn't know about.
That is not a good thing to discover. I mean, you need to know that. You need to know that before you go up and say I do, because that could be a deal killer. There's no question about it. My guest is Jocelyn Baird. She is a Next advisor, a writer with a love, as I said, for coffee, reading, and all things personal. We're talking about love and credit scores, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you see right in front of you, what you're witnessing, and maybe love is blind, but it ought not be blind to whether or not your partner is going to be a problem in terms of how you handle your finances. This is Home and Family Finance. I'll be right back. My guest is Jocelyn Baird, Next advisor, writer. We're talking about a recent study that they were part of. And what it really says, folks, is that credit scores can have a major impact on your relationship with somebody that you care about, you know. And let me just suggest to you out there this, and I think Jocelyn will back it up. You're dating someone, you've been together for a while, you learn their habits, you know what they like, you know what excites them, you know what their disciplines are. Don't put a blind eye on that, especially if you're thinking about tying into each other. As Jocelyn just said, if that person has $70,000 in debt, you need to know about that. And if you know that person, Jocelyn, if you see that person likes to go out to dinner every night, could care less about spending, wants to spend all of your money, boy or girl, doesn't save anything, and you're quite the opposite, that's saying there's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And it's even something to think about. Maybe you both have the same habits, especially when it comes to being, you know, very spendthrift and not saving. That's something to definitely think about if you're getting close to wanting to get married to somebody. Or even if you are already married and you're noticing, hey, my spouse and I have poor credit habits, what can we do about it? Because, you know, it can be a predictor, but it can also be used to kind of, you know, reevaluate things and go, okay, where are we? Where would we like to be?
Okay, so you're suggesting then that instead of it doesn't have to be a negative, it can end in a positive way if you're smart about how you deal with the fact that there are differences, or that you guys are heading down the same road. You're not saving, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Is that you can make it something that you join hands in terms of saying, how can we fix this and be better people, better financially fit?
Yes, yeah, you can definitely work together. You know, I think a lot of people, especially when they get into a place where they have bad credit, think that they're going to be like that for the rest of their lives. And something we like to tell people on Next Advisor is that, you know, you won't have bad credit forever if you take charge and work to improve it.
Okay, but here's a question. Okay. You're in a relationship, either his mom or her mom, his dad, her dad, they see the problem, or at least they say they know the habits of their kids. They see that these two people are different, and yet they're madly in love with each other, and yet they are so different in terms of how they handle their finances. Should the parent or grandparents or great best friend, doesn't have to be parents, should someone say something to one or the other or both, or is this something that just ain't none of your business?
I mean, I think it, depending on the relationship with, you know, you have, like, some parents are close enough to be able to pull their child aside and say, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, we've always talked about, or maybe that we should have talked about, and I want you to know before you get into something deep. But I think when it comes to relationships, people are still mostly ruled by their emotions and how they feel. So I can't imagine most, you know, young people especially listening to something like that and letting it deter them from getting married to someone that they're madly in love with.
Would you, if you saw your best friend was what you thought was in potentially dangerous territory because the guy she was dating was a spendthrift and cared nothing about saving and spent like crazy. Would you say something to your girlfriend?
I probably would. I tend to talk about finance and other topics. Yeah. I feel like I'm maybe unusual in that since I write about it a lot. But I think I might, but I would kind of go into it with the idea of maybe I can make them aware of bad habits that they might not have been aware of, and they have to make their own decisions from there.
Well, it could cost your friendship. You recognize that. Is it worth it?
It absolutely could. And it might not be worth it. You know, people have to make their own mistakes. And if it's not your money, then, you know, you kind of have to let them.
Yeah. It's a tough place to be because you say, okay, well, you know, I really do enjoy her. I love her. She's my best girlfriend, or I really care about him. And I'd rather just let them head into trouble that I see without saying anything rather than lose the friendship. Is that being selfish?
I think it is. I think it's being selfish, but I think it's also being realistic because people are tough to change and they're tough to convince of things that they might not see or agree with. And you know, that's kind of what it comes back to with this study, is that people kind of tend to do what they want to do. They looked at 12 million people in the U.S. for 15 years and compared their relationships, and they found that, you know, if you have a wide credit score gap, you're probably not going to last in a relationship. And I think it's interesting that, you know, they were able to find that out because so many people end up getting married anyway, despite their differences.
Yeah. But that's just a shocking thing, is that, you know, I've got a 500 and you've got an 800 or whatever you have in the score. There's a big difference. And that difference pretty much is a predictor that sooner or later we're going to have troubles and we may not stay together. That's a heck of a statement, don't you think?
It absolutely is. And I think, you know, them finally releasing this information, maybe people will start to actually think about things like that before they dive in.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not sure that you know, we very often, folks, and of course I've been there too, so this is not a preach. This is just an experience, is that you care about somebody. And you know what you fail to do, Jocelyn? You fail to see the holes. You don't see the uglies. You only see the good. You only want to see the good. You know, you don't want to, you know, everything is wonderful. Everything is perfect. And very often, everything is not perfect. And if you back into a relationship that way, this study kind of proves that if sooner or later, the holes and the dips and the problems in the relationship are going to win out.
Mm-hmm. It'll catch up with you.
Well, you know, I guess the real issue then becomes is the fix. You know, if there is a problem and you're listening, or you know that there's a problem and you're hearing this and you're saying, you know, there's a problem with her and or there's a problem with him, either way. What do you do? Do you go to that person? Do you say something to them?
Yeah, it's a matter of, you know, if you know, or, you know, if it's your own relationship, you know, you can, I think you have more power in your own relationship to change things, and you can kind of approach it from a, hey, let's fix this together, let's work on this together kind of thing.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about fixing your credit scores and what you can do in it, and do you even know your credit score, or do you know how to find out? We'll have that answer, yes, from Jocelyn Baird. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Baird. I'm so pleased to have you with us here as we explore the truth of the matter when it comes to your credit score and your relationship. If you have fallen in love with somebody who is diametrically opposed to the things that you believe when it comes to finances, you're going to have some trouble. That's what this recent study shows, and that's what my guest is talking about here today as we share the results of that survey with Jocelyn Baird, who is with the Next Advisor. She's one of the editors and one of the writers. And we're talking about this survey because, folks, it really shows that the difference in credit scores can really be the indicator that things are not going to work out in your relationship. So, you know, if you know there's a difference and you got to fix that, one of the first things you need to know, I think, Jocelyn, is what your credit score is. And I'm amazed to tell you that there are a lot of folks that have no idea what their score is or even know how to find it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to find it, have never looked at their credit reports. And the only way you can really know where you stand is to look at your credit report and look at it often. You know, they actually through the federal government, you can view your credit reports from all three credit bureaus once per year. The website to do that is annualcreditreport.com. And it's totally free, and it gives you copies of your credit reports. It doesn't give you free copies of your scores, but there are ways to get those. A lot of credit report monitoring services have free trials that you can sign up for, see your scores, and then cancel the free trial unless you want to keep the service. But looking at it is the first step towards knowing where do you stand. Is there information on your credit report that's wrong? Because a lot of people end up having misinformation on their reports that's dragging their score down.
But you just said something I think people need to understand. You said you can find out, you can see your credit report, but you won't see your credit score. Explain that.
Well, the reports are offered for free. You know, and the reports are where all the specific information is. The score is something that's calculated based on those credit reports, and those are usually not offered for free, but you can get them for free.
And you get them for free by doing what?
You get them for free by a lot of websites will have, you know, sign up for a free trial, see your credit scores, and, you know, it'll be either a 7-day trial or 30-day trial, whatever it is. But you can sign up, see your score, see where you stand. You may find out that you like having a credit monitoring service. A lot of them don't cost more than maybe $10 a month.
Okay.
And they give you access 24/7 to your credit reports and your scores.
Okay, and so if I were to find out, if I needed to know how to do that, where do I go to find that out? Is there a website or someplace I can go to get more information in terms of kind of figuring that all out?
NextAdvisor.com has a really fabulous, we have a whole section on credit report monitoring, a lot of blogs with information on getting your scores and, you know, how to make the most out of whatever you do to look at your credit and keep an eye on it.
Okay, that's NextAdvisor.com. You can go there, folks, if you want to get started. And if you find this information and you now know where you are, can you do something about your score?
You can. You know, some people either have poor credit or an awful lot of people don't have any credit at all. You know, they've never had a credit card, they've never had a loan, so they haven't had a chance to build a credit score. So there are different things that you can do depending on what your situation is. If you don't have much credit, you can either look into a credit card for average or limited credit, or you can look into a secured credit card. Secured credit cards differ from regular credit cards in that they basically look and act like a real credit card, but you put a deposit down in order to open the card. You basically secure the card with your deposit. And the deposits are usually $200 or less, so it's not a whole lot.
Okay.
But it gives you a line of credit.
So you start using your credit, and that's the way building good credit. Is that that's the whole idea, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good way to do that. Paying your bills on time is also very important.
The better way. Pay your bills on time and keep a record. Jocelyn Baird, thank you so much. Come back and see me soon, would you please?
Definitely.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Nice to have you on the program. All right, folks, don't tell me you don't know. We've just told you, and you do know. You know how to get your credit score. You know what it means. You know a lot of things today that you didn't know before this program started. That's the whole purpose of Home and Family Finance. Thank you, Al Peterson. Thank you, Tally Berry. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you come back and see us again next week. We'll be right here. Will you? Hope so.